Chapter 50. I remembered looking up at this third floor from outside the house and seeing windows. Presumably, at least one of those windows was in this room. But how would I find it? Should I bump around the walls with my head until I touched glass? Should I turn around and try to feel it with my hands that were tied behind my back? I'd try the head method first, but before that, I'd need to find the wall. Locating a wall wasn't hard. I slid around until a solid object stopped me. Was the room furnished? Had I found an old wardrobe closet, or was this indeed one side of a room? Turning my back to it, I felt along it as I slid sideways. Good. It seemed to be a wall. Facing it, I bumped along with my head again, hoping to feel a cold, hard pane of glass. My head ached already, and this method was hard work. I turned with my back to the wall once more, feeling for a different surface as I slid sideways across the floor, crab-like. At last, my fingers touched the cold surface of a pane of glass. The sill should be just below it. Bending low, I probed the wood until I felt the horizontal sill. Could I use the edge of it to slide off my blindfold? I knelt on the floor, leaned my head against the sill, and rubbed my blindfold across it. Up, down. Vita had done an excellent job of making that binding hard to dislodge. My nose and my forehead were raw and scraped, but I felt the cloth slip a little. I licked my dry lips and rubbed again. The blindfold slid a little more. Hooking the edge of it under a corner of the sill, I lifted my head. The cloth slipped down around my neck, and I could see. Never had the gray light of late afternoon looked so good. My prison appeared to be a small, empty room, complete with cobwebs and dust. Nothing was in it except an old wood bed frame, with a faded and torn spread across it, and a faded oriental rug under it. I turned to glance out of the window. The figures of Vita and Pearlie were small down below me on the sidewalk. My heart sank as I saw Mick move. He hadn't been out nearly long enough. Doubtless he would now join in the search for my purse. But there was no sign of Ulysses anywhere, and I hadn't heard a shot. My heart lifted. He must be safe. Hopefully he was no longer on the estate, but was heading back home. If I broke the window, could I use it to cut the rope that bound my hands? Would the people on the ground hear it break? I would have to risk it, but what could I use? Nothing in the room was movable. There were no vases, no lamps, nothing that might crack a window. I glanced at the floor. I had my boots. I was not contortionist enough to use my hands to remove a boot, so I'd try to push it off with my other foot. I pushed against the heel of the boot and wriggled my toes, glancing out the window now and then at the figures below. They had moved to my car. It wouldn't take them long to find my purse and the empty envelope. Perspiration was running down my face by the time I had my boot off. I lay down on my back, grabbed my boot, and backed up to the window. I didn't have much leverage, but I swung it at the window. Nothing happened. I tried again and heard the glass crack. The third whack broke the glass and cool air rushed in. I backed against the glass until I felt a jagged piece prick my wrist. It hurt, but it was my only hope. Carefully, I sawed the ropes over the broken edge. A warm trickle of blood oozed down my hand, but at last the rope gave. One more movement and the fibers parted. My hands were free. With the rope dangling from my wrist, I glanced out the window again. The three of them had left my car and were moving toward the house. They would soon reach the door and be up the stairs. When they came into this room, what would they do? Add me to their long list of casualties? My heart pounded as my gaze swept the room. No closet, no bathroom, no other door except the one through which Pearlie had shoved me. Probably the other rooms on this floor were as bare as this one, with no place to hide. I heard the front door slam. It was too late to run downstairs and try to make it out the back way. The bed was my only hope. Could I slide under it? Would the tattered spread be long enough to hide me? That would probably be the first place those three would look. but it seemed to be my only chance unless I climbed through the broken window. But if I jumped, the fall would probably kill me. No sensible way of escape came to me in a blinding flash of wisdom. In fact, wisdom and good sense had pretty much flown under a severe attack of panic. Would trickery work? If I could make them think I had crawled out the window, I might gain a few more minutes. Picking up my boot, I used it to clear a larger space of broken glass. Then I tugged off the blindfold, which hung around my neck, and laid it across the sill. I could see that the roof jutted out a few feet above a narrow brick ledge. Could I climb out, hang onto the eave, and, hugging the outer wall, inch away from the window so they couldn't see me? I took a good look at the ground far below. The narrowness of the ledge and the lack of a good place on the roof to hang on to. I was never all that athletic, and what agility I'd once had disappeared with age. Besides, even for Tarzan, it'd be quite a feat. But if I could make my enemies think I'd managed to do that. A few drops of blood from my wrist spattered the floor. I shook free of the rope, rubbed it around in the blood, and carefully draped it across the sill. Footsteps and voices echoed down the hall, heading toward my prison room, as I tugged off my other boot and ran toward the bed. Waiting until I heard their voices nearing the door, I breathed a prayer, took aim, and threw my boot through the window, shattering the remaining glass with a loud crash. My heart pounding, I rolled under the bed just as the door burst open.